my friend June Hesterly is coming, and we, June and I, are fortunate that we've known each other for, I don't know, maybe 45 years, something like that, and love to minister together, and are able actually to travel often around the country. June and I will be together ministering at women's events. So she's going to be here on Saturday with me, and she has a great ministry in the Holy Spirit. So you don't want to miss her or the day. And Allison just told me they can even take credit cards. She can even take credit cards. So if you're interested, see Allison in the back. As you saw, as you picked up your homework, we're going to study the book of 1 Thessalonians. First time I've ever taught this book, so I'm excited to to dig into it. And so I want to tell you the reasons why we chose it. I'm not going to teach tonight, just tell you the reasons why we chose it. The first reason is just a personal reason for me. This is my friend Kim Hint's homework that she wrote. Kim Hint was the pastor's wife in Houston, Texas. She and her husband Ron are great and old friends of ours. We are often together with them. I may have talked to you about her before. She had a very strange blood cancer. Was looking for a donor last year. In fact, I think her husband even came, and they did a whole thing, and we did a donor drive and everything. And they, one was found for her, but it was not a success, and she died in March. So I miss her terribly, and I was with her husband a couple weeks ago. We were together in Colorado, and I told him that most mornings I get up and I get my coffee and I go sit and I open up my Bible and then I open up my phone and I go to all the texts that I got from Kim over all the years that I knew her that were just full of scriptures, and I look up all the scriptures that she sent me. She was an amazing, amazing woman, amazing teacher, and she wrote the homework, so it's kind of special to me that we are going to be using her material here. Another reason that I think it's interesting that we're studying this book is it is written to a group, to a church in Thessalonica that was where the Christians were suffering afflictions and persecutions in a really terrible way. And as I read through it and as I read some of the history of how the church was founded in the book of Acts and how they were persecuted and how they were hurt and how they were defamed. It really kind of grabbed my heart for all the persecution that we see going on around the world. New reports almost every day on the atrocities that are being done to Christians, to non-Christians, to innocents, to children in the Middle East. So it's frustrating to me that there seems to be so little that we can do about it. And sometimes when I look at how easy my life is compared to theirs and how little I have sacrificed for my faith or my relationship with the Lord, it makes me really almost feel this sense of guilt that they're there and I'm here. And all I can really do for them is to pray. And so this book is a reminder to me to keep on praying for them. I know that that would be their request. And speaking of persecuted Christians, this Friday night out in the courtyard right outside the gym, there is a prayer vigil for Saeed Abedini. I'm sure you've heard of him. Michael talks about him. My husband talks about him a lot. Been in prison. This will be a two-year anniversary of his imprisonment. He's been beaten. He's been persecuted terribly. He's away from his wife. He's actually a pastor. She's a pastor's wife and his small children for the last 2 years. His mother, actually, they still live there in the Middle East. She's just been recently hospitalized because the stress of seeing her son in the condition that he is has just been too much for her. We now have, and this is not just our deal, this is a worldwide thing, and Sandy could tell me how many countries? Under 35 nations, it's growing every day. And how many churches? Probably almost 50 pages of churches. And we're all going to be praying at the same time His wife, Nagme, is going to be in with Franklin Graham, I think in Washington, D.C. They're going to pray there, and we're praying all over San Diego. A lot of the churches here in San Diego are involved. So I would encourage you, if you possibly can, to go to that. Well, I'm sorry, this courtyard. Oh, this courtyard, not outside the gym. Okay. And somebody even told me there will be food. Yes, so how can you lose? That's another way you can be involved. I know Nagme. She's a sweet, dear, strong, unbelievably strong woman who was just a wife and a mother, and her husband was pastoring up in Idaho at a friend of ours church, and never imagined that this would be her life. She's spoken to the UN. She's bold with her faith. She's strong, but she is getting to the place where she's getting discouraged. It's been too long with no results. And even John Kerry, maybe 10 days ago, made another plea to the government for him to be released. But so far, nothing has been done. His health is failing. And then I actually saw on her Facebook page that in the prison that he's now in, there's even some ISIS, how do you say, imprisoned there who have vowed to kill him. So it's not an easy situation, and we would love to see God have the victory in this and have him brought home. Okay, so it's about a persecuted church. That's my second reason for wanting to study this. The third reason is that this book, probably more than any other New Testament book, talks about not only the rapture, but the second coming, and in very plain and understandable terms. And I can't imagine how much closer we can get to all these things, this world coming to an end, the way things are going. Prophecy is being fulfilled weekly as you pick up your newspaper and read it. And I need to understand better than I do about the rapture, about the second coming. And I read this, which I thought was really interesting, that even though this was a doctrine of the early church in the first century, and this was their hope, and it's mentioned not only in this epistle, but in other epistles, and was mentioned by Jesus himself, still, the second coming and the rapture became kind of a non-issue after the first century to the church for hundreds of years. It was not discussed until, and I even wrote this date down, 1825. There was a renewed interest in the rapture and the second coming. And there was this surge of belief and hope that it brought. And it came because scholars, pastors, preachers started studying 1 Thessalonians. And that was where it renewed their faith. So I want to know about these things. Not only does it talk about these things, and this is even more important, it shows us how to get ready for these things to occur. This is a, as you know, a letter written by Paul. I was thinking today as I sat down and picked it up, I've been reading it through on a daily basis, and if you've never tried that, that's my favorite thing to do when I'm studying a book. I just pick it. I mean, it's like five chapters. I just pick it up and I read the whole thing through. It takes me 15 minutes in the morning to do that. And if you just do that every day, you will be amazed how it just begins to dwell within you, and you begin to understand it and see it. And every morning that I read it, I see something different. But when I was reading it this morning, I thought, you know what? There aren't very many letters left in the world. Do you get many letters in the mail? You know, every once in a while I get a thank you note for a wedding gift or something. But other than that, nobody's writing me letters. And I'm not writing anybody letters, unfortunately, because there's nothing like holding a written message to you in your hands. And it's not like an email, or it's not like a text. And I read this statistic about people don't even like to email any longer because it requires too long, too much effort for them to email. They just want to send a text, you know, two sentences, because that's all they really have time for. And people don't pick up the phone because they really don't want to talk anymore. They just want this kind of instant message and then instant message back to you. So it's almost like the Bible now is, this part of it is a book of letters. And there's nothing like reading somebody else's mail. And what we're doing is reading a letter from Paul to this church. And do you know that Paul started this church in 3 weeks. He went to Thessalonica, and for three Saturdays he spoke in the synagogue. And then he had to leave because he was being persecuted. He had to get out of town. In just three Saturdays, this church was formed. And they have gone on, as you will read, to do amazing things. And he writes, unlike some of his other letters, this amazing, gentle message to this church that as you read through, you will see how deeply he loves. In one verse, he talks about feeling as a mother would to them. In another chapter, he talks about having the love as a father would for them. He calls the people in this church his glory and his joy. So I think that's another reason to read it. It is a sweet, sweet letter. It contains within its chapters all the basic doctrines that you need in order to live the Christian life. And we will cover them all. It not only tells you how to live, it tells you the faith that you should have, it tells you the love that you should show. So it's very instructive to you and I. But as I was studying, looking up in Acts, what happened today, what happened to this church, I came upon this one phrase. It's in the 17th chapter of Acts. I think it's the 16th verse. No, it's not. It's the 6th verse. And it's talked about them being persecuted, if you want to turn to it. Talks about what's going on in Thessalonica, about the Jews being persecuted, about them going to this one guy's house. They go to Jason's house, and it says, but the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, and they took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, this believer, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, now listen to this phrase, these who have turned the world upside down. And I thought, how would you like to be called someone who had turned the world upside down? I mean, I would love to be able to turn some of my kids upside down, a couple of my grandkids upside down. What a phrase to use for these people, that they had turned the world upside down. And that's kind of my goal as I read through this. I want to be one who's bold in my faith, who's full of love for my Christian brothers and sisters, who is not afraid to speak forth what I know to be truth. And I want to turn my world, no matter how small it is, upside down for him. I would love that phrase to be used about me. I don't think at this point in my life it actually could, but maybe someday. And that's my prayer for you too. I think we have much to learn. I'm excited to learn with you. As I said, I've never taught this book before, so it's all new to me. It's kind of scary to open up pages, and because I don't like any surprises, and this book is full of surprises. And you're going to be surprised about how it ministers to you, about how it corrects you, about how it comforts you, all those things. So I look forward to being on this journey with you. If you didn't get a homework book, you need to get one. And I was just talking to Allison because I gave her my copy of Kim's homework, and we didn't mean to, but we left out an explanation that's in Kim's book that's not in this one about how the homework kind of works. It's divided up into these four areas and why she chose that. So we're going to have that printed out for you to give it to you next week. Can we do that? Okay. Any questions? Anybody? No? Yes.
How do you spell Kim's last name?
Hint. H-I-N-D-T. And her first name is spelled K-Y-M. Kim. Young. 50-something. And she and her husband were raising their two grandchildren aged, now they're 3 and 5. Because their daughter, the kid's mother, is gone off the deep end, so now Ron has those two kids by himself to raise. And the little boy, his name is Trey. On the weekend that she died, he was in Sunday school, and it was Mother's Day. And you were supposed to draw a flower or a picture or something for your mother, and Trey said, I don't have a mommy, and I don't have a Mimi. That's what he called it. I'm not drawing any picture for anybody. So It's been hard. It's been hard on them. It's been hard on their church. She was very visible. She was very active. She was very dynamic. She was a great trainer of leadership. I was talking to one of the girls that she had these this group of young girls that she gathered together that she would pull out of the body, and she called them her go-to girls, and she worked them practically to death. And she told them when she sat down with them the first day, this girl told me, she said, Kim stood there and she said, I'm going to suck the very life out of you. So she was quite a woman. She was tiny. She was about 5 feet tall. She clomped around in these big high heels. And the thing that irritated her the most when she got really sick at the end, it was that she couldn't balance on her high heels. And she says, now the whole world knows how short I really am. And she wore bright red lipstick wherever she went. So when we went to her service, everybody wore, except me, because I can't wear high heels and bright red lipstick. So she will be greatly missed by me and a multitude of people. So it's exciting for me that we're going to do her book. Okay, anybody else? Any questions? No? Okay. One more thing. There's much leftover food. Please go and eat it before you go home, and let me pray for you before we close. Lord, I thank you for these girls who came tonight. I pray that, Father, you would increase our numbers, that we would grow, that we would not only grow in numbers, but that we would grow in our faith, that we would grow in our love for each other, that we would grow in our excitement about your return, that we would look forward to that day as it's described in this book where we are caught up into the air with you, Lord. Teach us how to live like this. Teach us how to be those who turn their worlds upside down. May we do that in our homes, in our places of work, and in our church, and in our families. Lord, may we turn our world upside down for you. And I do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.